of Steam Stealer Murder back again, bringing you another actual play podcast. Tonight, we have a one-shot of a D6 by D6 system that finished a successful Kickstarter a few months back. It's put out by the Popcorn Press and created by Lester Smith. This recording will have a different sound quality than our usual, as we're looking for Skype replacements. We give Mumble a try on this recording, and it lacks a certain polish that we're looking for, so forgive us if parts of this are hard to make out. The players were Jameis, Sharon, and Steven. We play in the Ghost Be Gone setting that we created a while back in another playtest for the Inspectors game. Anyways, on with the show, and enjoy! All right, well, let's fumble through it and figure out what's going on. All right, so we are playing a game based in our Ghost Be Gone setting that we played in Inspectors the last time. We're going to be using the D6 by D6 system this time. A couple of you guys have characters from the Ghost Be Gone, which you can recreate in this if you wish. We are going to make characters now, which is going to be, should not take more than 5 minutes. Very quick. Do you see we're using Mumble tonight as well, as we're trying to find some alternatives to Skype. Steven, do you see the chat log on Mumble?
To the left.
Yes. Okay. Do you see the HTTP link to a Dropbox content?
No, I think it must have shown up before I joined. So.
Okay. Well, there it is again. That's basically a sheet of character cards, just so you can kind of follow along with what you need to mark down for your characters.
All right.
Okay. So let's just do this all together here. Of course, you need to choose a name and a gender for your character. This is a modern day setting, by the way, as well as an age. Oh, cool. It tells you when other people are recording as well.
Yes. Not sure I'm a fan of that feature.
Oh, you like to record covertly?
No, not the fact that it audibly tells me.
Mine just popped up with a bubble. If you gave out an audio warning, you can probably fix that in the configuration settings. All right, next thing is your attributes. There are 4 of them. Brawn, Grace, Will, and Wits. You will choose one of these to be your primary, and you should circle that one. You will choose one of them to be your weakness, and you will make a cross through that one. Everything else is considered to be unfamiliar, or you've had, unfocused. There are 3 ratings for anything you do: focused, unfocused, or unfamiliar. Focused is something you're very good at. Unfocused means you've had some training, but it is not your best thing. Unfamiliar means you have no familiarity with it at all. So you would choose one between Brawn, Grace, Will, and Wits as your focused, one which will be your unfocused, or the thing you're worse at, and the rest of them will be unfocused, and the one you're worst at will be called unfamiliar. And Jameis, you are muted. Is that on purpose? Are you listening in? We cannot tell. Oh, and Josh is connected completely. Is everyone else there?
I'm still here.
I am still here.
Okay. Josh has been having computer issues. He's been dropping out a lot, I understand. Okay, so those are your attributes. The next thing is to pick an occupation. This will encompass most of the skills that you'll be very good at. So like if you picked an occupation as, for instance, you were a police officer, which would make you automatically focused in things like shooting a gun, knowing law, driving a car, even anything that would fall under what your occupation does as a primary thing would be considered a focused skill for free. You might have tertiary things, like a police officer might have had a course or 2 on lock picking, and so we could say that is unfocused, but that there may be things that a law officer may be completely unfamiliar with, such as fixing an engine.
Okay. So those would they be things that don't fall under your occupation. So your occupation will encompass many skills and is going to be your primary skill in itself. So you would pick an occupation. If you're using the characters you've had in the last Ghost Be Gone, Sharon, your character Victoria Ford, you have down an occupation as a folktale storyteller. Which you can use if you want, or you can broaden that up and say something else.
Would that be scholar or student?
Student would work if you want to say student, and you might want to say be more particular. And I think we are echoing. Jameis.
That's me.
Yeah. We're echoing through you. No, we're not either. Not since you muted yourself. Who are we echoing through?
I think it delays.
No, it's an echo. It's coming through someone. It's not a delay.
No, I think the echo was on delay. And
oh, I got you. Yeah, good point.
Well, I am echoed, so we'll see if we can echo back.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So you might want to say something more than just student. Like we'll be like student of what is a what would be more fitting? I don't want to say art student, but what is the degree that is more art centric? If you're getting like a bachelor's.
English, I would think.
Yeah, or anthropology or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You might want to say student of and then give a coursework. Steven, you were playing Terry Parsons. And you were a failed inventor. No, you were a sound engineer. That was your former occupation, was sound engineer.
I'll go with failed inventor. I like that.
Actually, that was a tag we put on you.
I know.
But you can take that if you want. I don't know about the failed part, because that might limit your things to being not so good.
Well, who am I to say if it's a failure or not? It's all in the eye of the beholder and my pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. And Jameis, you did not play in the inspector, so you'll be making something whole cloth. Now, you guys are all working for Ghost Be Gone, but your occupation will be what you did before that.
Parsons.
Does anybody else still have Skype open and can see if Josh is online or if he dropped completely?
Josh. Let's see. He looks to have dropped from Skype, yes.
Ah, okay.
And since we're not using Skype, I'm going to now close Skype.
Yeah, he's dropped.
Okay, next thing is skills. Now, your occupation is going to cover most of the skills that your character is good at, things that fall under the, you know, whatever description we have for your occupation. But on top of that, you may choose to have some more skills that are considered to be focused, something that you spent a lot of time at and that you're good at. We're going to use the default skill list on the D6x D6.com site. You can choose up to 9 more of these skills, but the way the system works is the more skills that you have as your focus, the more diluted you end up being, okay? Because you really can't break your focus into that many things and still be good at them. So you can choose up to 9, but the more you choose, the more difficult it will be to actually make your focused roles. On the flip side of that, it will make your unfocused roles a little bit easier to make, simply because since you have a broader base of knowledge, things that you are able to do more things that you know less about just because you've got a broader understanding of things. You are less likely to do very well at them, but you are more likely to be able to do them. Okay, so that's the count off. And the reason why they say 9 is the cap is because at 9, the split between your chances of making a focused role or making an unfocused role are almost even at that point. So you can choose up to 9 more skills. These would be skills that you think would not fall under your occupation because you get those for free.
I have to tell what would be under my occupation.
What occupation are you choosing?
For laborer, janitor.
You want to be a janitor? Well, I would say right off, a janitor typically does not know how to shoot firearms or repair a car. May not be all that athletic. Actually, no, I would say athletics probably is something you would be good, because that would also encompass things like brawn and you probably have some stamina in there for that sort of thing.
All janitors are ninjas.
Of course.
Question for you. Okay, converting Victoria Ford, she did have rankings in athletics. And athletics would be based off of bronze. If I took that as a focus skill, would that just make it a focused skill and I wouldn't have to worry about being unfamiliar for something athletic?
Correct, yes. Because athletics would not fall under a core study for someone doing what you're doing. I mean, if your core studies were you're an athlete in college, then that's different. But since you're not, then yes, if you want to be focused at that, you'll have to take it as a separate skill. Now, added to this, you may also choose three skills as unfocused. Now, the number of unfocused skills that you have really don't change your percentage chance of making a focused or unfocused skill, but you may choose three for free. So you can choose any more three other skills that are unfocused, meaning you've had some minor amount of training in it, but it's not really your forte.
So are these like secondary skills or are these just your bad skills?
No, these are like secondary skills. Your bad skills would be the ones that you're just unfamiliar with, which would be anything that you don't choose between focused and unfocused. Now, in this system, anyone can try anything, okay? So even if you have not chosen a skill as being focused or unfocused, automatically everything else is unfamiliar, okay? So you still have a chance. It's just you're likely less likely to be able to do it, and you are completely impossible to do it to a very high degree. The way this works is a focused or an unfocused skill, if you roll 10 more, for each 10 more that you roll over what you need, you get a higher level of success. Now, with an unfamiliar skill, it doesn't matter how well you roll. You can only get a basic success.
Okie dokie.
What is an optimal number of focused additional skills to take?
The optimum is between 3 and 6, with 9 being the cap. But also, if anything seems like it might fall under your occupation, I would not take it as a focus skill, because you would likely get it free for your occupation.
And we're using the basic skills list?
Yes, the basic skills list.
Skills I've got, given that I'm a janitor, the skills, extra skills I've taken are bargaining, first aid, lock picking, martial arts, and throwing. Would any of those be considered janitorial?
Go over them once again, slowly.
Bargaining, first aid, picking, throwing.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit for me. Anyone else?
Yes, breaking up a little.
Okay.
It's probably the voice activation thing, I think.
Yeah, are you on voice activation or continuous?
Yeah, voice and activation.
Go ahead and change yourself to continuous then.
Oh, good idea. Let's see.
I'm not suggesting that for everyone, just Jameis is breaking up, so his level of silence is close to his level of speaking.
Hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, no, those sound like good picks. I don't see how any of those could fall under janitorial, other than throwing might be an unfocused for you, like a hand-eye coordination thing, so you might get that as an unfocused for free as part of your occupation.
Okay, unfocused. That's second tier skills, isn't it?
Yes.
Stealth swimming and throw. Just be throwing down there.
Are we working under the assumption that we're still Ghost Be Gone squad? Or
yes, you are still a Ghost Be Gone squad, but you've been in that capacity for so little time that your former occupation is still kind of what rules your skill set. And then once you guys have all that done, total all of the focus skills that you bought, add one to it, and that is your focus level.
What we have to roll above, I'm guessing?
You roll equal to or above your focus if you are trying to perform a focused action. You roll below your focus or equal to if you're trying to do something that you're unfocused or unfamiliar with. Is everyone hearing that echo, or am I just hearing it myself?
I was hearing it, but it stopped.
Okay. That may be a latency thing. Or not. I think it stopped when Jameis muted again.
Okay, so if I picked five focused skills, my...
Then your total focus is a 6.
Okay.
Yeah, and between 3 and 6 is what's considered optimal for a beginning character.
Okay.
And once everyone finishes, just let me know what your focus number is, and we'll get started. That's pretty much all of character generation.
5.
Okay.
My name is Penry, and if anyone knows what that's a reference to, well done you.
Would you say Penry?
Yeah, Penry.
Okay. Okay.
Hello?
All right. Yeah. I just need to set something up. Oh, just give me a moment here. So, Steven, you're the last one. Just let me know when you got your focus number.
Well, it's I'm not taking very many skills for focused, so it seems like 3.
Okay, so you took 2 focus skills?
Computers and first aid.
That sounds fine, yeah. The more focused you are, the better you are at doing focused abilities, but the worse you are at doing unfocused ones, which is fine.
Let's see. And I have a lot of unfocused skills.
Okay, you basically, you only get 3. You don't get to choose more than 3.
Oh, I see. Well, let's see. Let me pick up my... Let me throw in another focus. Say athletics. So my focus skill is 4.
Okay. That's within optimal range. That's fine.
And I'll pick 3 other skills. Unfocused. All right. I'm taking... Sneaking... anybody take vehicle by chance?
I took vehicle as an unfocused. I do have a question for you, Bert.
Mm-hmm.
With a student, basically as a student occupation, would second language, do I need to take that as a focus skill, or is that would that be considered covered?
You're an art student, so I would give you one secondary language for free. Would you, to choose your language, what it would be?
Probably Spanish.
That's fine, yeah.
So then that drops my total focus to 5.
Okay.
All right, I got 3 focused, 3 unfocused.
Okay, so your focus number is 4.
Mm-hmm. That's what I got.
Sharon was 3, and Jameis was what?
No, mine is 5.
5, sorry. Okay, and Jameis, yours was?
5.
5. Okay. All right, sounds good. Let's go ahead and see, get the dice roller open. Let me open up my scenario here. Okay, so Ghost Be Gone. Well, 2 of you have been there for a little bit. Jameis, you are the new recruit, living your lucrative lifestyle in the custodial arts and taking up the mantle of ghost busting. Unfortunately, as the recession...
No, I'm still a janitor for the office. I just get brought along with the team.
I was just going to say, is he a new recruit, or did we mistake our janitor as a member of the team?
No, this is perfect. This is the holiday seasons, and everyone else is out of the office when you get this call, so you tap your janitor. Well, the recession has been going on for a while. The downslide of the economy has affected even the lucrative business of ghost busting. So to make ends meet, the business has recently decided to take contracts outside your home area. Said contract currently has you aboard a DC-10 where you are traveling coach heading for Alaska. Your plane is heading for Juneau. From there, you will take a small puddle jumper plane out into the Aleutian chain to a small item called island called Adak, Alaska, where the 350 current residents of the island have pulled together their funds to hire you to come and check out an issue they have.
Did they like scrape together tens of thousands of dollars? Because I don't know why we're on the way out here.
Well, they scraped together more than enough to cover your contract for a week and for your flight charges and covering your hotel stay and meals. Actually, looking this up on Wikipedia, I actually used to live in Adak, Alaska back in the early 80s. And apparently the mean income there, as of, 2010 was almost $55,000, even with a population of just under 350 people. It's mostly because the island is, owned by a conglomerate, the Aleut Corporation, who bought the old Navy facilities that used to be there. Used to be a Navy installation. They pulled out in 93. So now there is basically the Aleut Corporation is a fishing concern as well as running outback and what would you call fishing and hunting tours. So it's a fairly lucrative place. Anyway, who has the dossier, the information they faxed over to you?
It would probably be Victoria.
All right, Victoria. It is a slim one page that essentially tells you what your contract is for a week. They give you accommodation and meals. Adak is a very small island. As said before, their population is just around 350 people, with that doubling during the summer months for hunting and fishing. As you are now in the winter months, that has declined somewhat, although they still do have hunters and fishers and outback men that come in during the harsher times. But anyway, over the last couple of weeks, they've had three killings, essentially one every 5 days. And for a population as small as theirs that has had no problems with murders before, this became a problem. The local police, however, has ruled out any type of criminal activity amongst the normal population. Included are a couple of photographs of the bodies, which have large wound channels between claws and bites, it looks like, with bits of their bodies being chewed on or in some cases even being ripped off. And now we can really hear Janice breathing. no other physical evidence other than the wounds were left at the crime scene. Some close-up of the wounds show a strange, viscous, slimy fluid in the wound channel. So people, eyewitnesses, have remarked upon seeing some kind of apparition at the scene of the crime. They do actually have videotape, which has not been included, showing a person being attacked in progress, but all you can see is the victim. So they have pulled their funds and called you out for a week to see what you can find. Of course, the optimal solution here will be for you to find that it is in fact some kind of spiritual being and put an end to it. If not, if you can rule out the fact that it is such and give the police any aid that you can in tracking down the killer.
Clearly, we're out here because of the doctor. I blame him.
All right.
He's in the Bahamas right now, actually.
Yes, there was clearly a ghost outbreak there. The Bahamas.
No, he's on vacation. It is December 28th.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
All right, first of all, knowing that you're going to Adak, Alaska, what have you brought with you? What gear have you brought? During the winter months, the temperature here averages, let's see, about 38 degrees is the high, and about 8 degrees is the low.
Really warm coat, nice boots, good scarf, oh, warm mitts.
Fahrenheit, right.
Yes, Fahrenheit.
So Celsius, that's quite nice.
3.3 degrees Celsius or minus 13 low.
So, yes, a parka, standard issue.
Yep.
From
still on parka.
Somebody's standard issue parka that we stole off from some better organized organization. the ghost, what did we call it? The ghost sniffer? The ghost sniffer. The new improved ghost sniffer. No longer operating on radioactive materials or isotopes.
They're just merely carcinogenic now.
Only if you're directly within the, the effluage that comes off.
Right. Okay. Jameis, anything you're bringing special?
My mop and some extra bottles of antifreeze.
Very good. And everyone has a communication system, which is a cell phone with headset, hands-free, as well as the ability to, like a radio as well. You know, some phones have like a one-mile radius walkie-talkie-like thing built in. Yours have that.
Yeah, and a couple of those, you know those squeeze packs that radiate heat when you break them? Those cat packs? Yes, a few of those.
Okay, sure. Now, all of that is legal to board your plane with. You worked out the bugs on your cell phone, so now it actually does record. It does actually do more than every third word when you speak through it.
do we have any ghost trapping equipment other than my ghost sniffer?
Nope.
Ritual book, some kind, lucky talisman, anybody?
I'm gonna do a library search and grab a couple of folklore books about the area.
Okay, that sounds good. Give me an occupation roll. So this will be the first roll of the game here. This is a 2d6 roll.
Okay.
And no modifiers.
2d6. So I got a 1 and a 5.
1 and a 5. I'm not seeing your rolls for some reason.
There they go.
All right, so the way this works, the reason it's called d6 by d6 system, is you multiply your dice together. So you have a total of 5. What is your focus?
My focus is a 6.
Ah, so you fail.
Oops.
You're trying to get a number equal to or higher than your focus if you're using a focus skill.
Even if it's my occupation?
Yes, because the occupation just means it is focused versus unfocused or unfamiliar.
Okay.
All right, so, now, everyone has 6 points to start with. Call them your fate points or your bennies or whatever you want to call them. Now, you can modify a die roll after the fact.
Okay.
By spending these, if you wish. But these also count as your experience points, because every 3 that you have at the end of the game is 1 experience point.
Okay, so if I spent, and I have to spend them by die?
Yes, what you do is you get to, in this case, you get to increase 1 of your die by 1 point per point you spend.
Oh, okay, so if I were to spend a point to increase that 1 to a 2.
Yes, you will succeed with a 10.
Okay, then that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Now, a 10 succeeds, but it is not 10 over what you needed, so it's a basic success. So, we're hearing sirens in the background. All right, so you basically come out with a information book that can be found in, you know, a regular library. It is not a tome of occult significance, but it is a tome that tells you about the myth and legends of the area. So that's what you get for your success.
Awesome.
Okay. Anything else? All right, so you are packed with warm clothes, your ghost sniffer, a tome of mythologies from the area you'll be going to, some extra things of antifreeze, a mop, and some chemical hand warmers.
First aid kit, I suppose.
All right, first aid kit, you would not be able to take aboard a plane.
Even if
we can get some of the stuff in Alaska, you know.
Yes. Yeah, because the first aid kits will have more than an ounce of fluid in the kits, so can't take it.
Well, technically, you start with the antifreeze, then.
That, you're right. You're very right. So you can't take the antifreeze either. But you can figure there's probably going to be a lot of antifreeze there.
First aid kit minus whatever fluids?
That would be fine. So no sharps, no fluids, but Band-Aids, aspirin, stuff like that.
That's assuming I'm taking it as a carry-on. Can't I check this item?
No. Even check baggage, they will not allow you to carry anything more than an ounce of fluid.
I reduce all the fluids to 1 ounce. And
okay, so you have an ounce of antiseptic in there. That's...
Yeah.
Antiseptic wipes too, but
yeah.
Don't bleed too badly.
All right. So this is what you have on board with you. You make downfall. Your plane comes in after a slightly turbulent ride, but not too bad. And your plane lands in Juneau, which is mainland Alaska. This is a large city. This is every bit as modern as Seattle, New York, etc. So this is a fairly large terminal here. You have a 1 hour layover before you catch a very small puddle jumper, which will take you out to the Aleutian Chains and ADAC. Terminal is quite busy. Juneau is a very, very busy airport. Alaska is starting to become the new Silicon Valley in America. So there are a lot of business flights in and out of this area. Which for you means they've got a very nice lounge, place to warm up, etc.
But I forgot my computer.
And a lot of hamburger telephones for some reason.
Yes, that too.
Did not get that at all.
What's that?
Hamburger telephones. I don't understand that at all. I say to my janitor, whose name I don't know.
Yes. What is your character's name, Jameis?
Penry.
That's right, Penry. Okay, so if you want to do anything over the hour layover, otherwise...
I will purchase a new computer! To replace the one I
bought. Exorbitant prices of the airport lounge, and yes, they do in fact have laptop computers for sale. Keep in mind your cell phones have that functionality too, though. So you don't necessarily need a computer if you don't want one.
Yeah, I think I might be going with the purchase of a computer for myself. Since I forgot mine. And also a local newspaper or two.
Okay. Sure. So using the company credit card, you purchase a couple of laptops. And you figure you're getting gouged at about twice the normal price.
Yeah, I charge it to the doctor.
Yeah, you got the company card. You might be able to write it off as expenses. Okay, so you sit down to a couple of local newspapers. This time of year, things have mostly closed down in Alaska with expecting winter. Some places get hit harder than others. Mainland Alaska is not too bad. Most facilities are open, but car travel is it becomes problematic. So this is the time of year where people are safe and sound in their homes and don't go out too much. Not a lot interesting in the newspaper. You know, the traffic accidents, predictions of storms coming through. You do find on the third page that there has been, in the time since you got your dossier, you boarded a flight and landed, there's been another death in ADAC. This brings the total to 4.
ADAC has, like, 1 police officer?
You don't actually know what the situation is on the ground yet. You know, they do have something of a police station there because your report said that they'd ruled out any normal malfeasance going on. But you don't know how inept they might be or how many there are.
So now that I have a computer, I am looking up the Wikipedia for ADAC.
Yes, and you're welcome to actually look up the Wikipedia for ADAC.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Yep.
Can you spell that?
ADAK. Yep. And you get basically the cursory information that it was a big Navy base up until 93 when, with no real reason given by the government, it was pulled off. All the infrastructure was sold to the Aleut Corporation in 97.
It said ATAK?
ADAK.
Oh. That makes more sense.
Yep. 127.3 square miles. 122.4 of which is land. Actually, having lived there, I can also tell you that the land is flat. It's all tundra. The only thing that is any more than a few inches off the ground as far as flora goes is the island is shaped kind of like a donut. And in the center of the island, there is a depression, which Navy men back during the last World War planted a small forest. And in front of that forest is a sign that says you are now entering and leaving the ADAC National Forest. Yes, at its peak, ADAC at one time sported a college, a McDonald's restaurant, a movie theater, a roller rink, a swimming pool, ski lodge, bowling alley, skeet range, auto, hobby shop, photo lab, and racquetball and tennis courts. The most recent addition before the military pulled out was an $18 million hospital. It was built in 1990.
There's no radio station. No, I could set up not. One. Make a killing.
When I was there, you got exactly 2 television channels. Of course, cable wasn't around back then, but I don't believe there's cable even now. It's all satellite for everything. And again, the Aleut Corporation is the largest employer here.
Are you going to go with the current mayor or make one up?
It's been 4 years. Who did they list as the current mayor?
Thomas Bittler,
yes. He will be the current mayor then. Although his name doesn't appear on any of your paperwork, it looks like this was the populace kind of pooled resources to hire you in. You're not exactly sure even how the police are going to treat you. Your contact is Adrian Smith, and he works at the airport there. So he will be greeting you when your puddle jumper lands. If you're unfamiliar with what a puddle jumper is, they are single prop planes. Sometimes they are capable of landing in the water, sometimes not. They're very bumpy rides. There's nothing in the way of amenities. You strap yourself in and pray to whatever god you hold dear that it doesn't wreck. Those are puddle jumpers.
Pray to whatever god that you didn't bring too much luggage.
Yes, exactly. These are used extensively in the chains because it's the only way really to get in and out. Because if anyone's unfamiliar with it, the Aleutian Chains is a string of small islands that extend off the bottom of mainland Alaska. And there are not really much in the way of good roads in these places. And you need an airplane to go from island to island or to get to the mainland. Boats and skiffs can be used at certain time of the year, but not at this time of the year. So airplane, pretty much the only way to do it.
Nightlife and dining opportunities are few on ADAC. The Aleutian Sports Bar and Grill, a.k.a. Aspac, is located in the former VFW Hall.
All right. So, yeah, you guys are, you know, checking out on the internet what you can find about ADAC. You got your newspaper there with not a lot of news. Mostly it's filled with predictions about the season coming up. Car or automobile accidents are apparently something that people keep track of pretty well here. There seems to be some kind of poll going as to how many there are going to be during the season.
The McDonald's couldn't survive in ADAC as it is now abandoned.
Yep. The other thing that you'll be able to pull up is the native Aleuts, which there are a few living on ADAC, but not many. But they used to be the indigenous culture on the island before the Navy came. And that's what most of your myth book talks about there. Sharon, are the Aleut myths in the area?
Any of them having to do with anything that would, like, cause the conditions of the bodies?
Let's see. Go ahead, I'll give this to you as an occupational role.
Okay, so
if you can find something that's fitting out of the legends. So it's 2d6. You multiply one by the other, and you're trying to get more than your focus number.
Okay, so that's a 12.
Okay, what is your focus number, a 6?
5.
5, okay, so that's more than, that's 10 above, so that's a really good success. You pull out a couple of things. There are many myths on creatures that can shape change. You would almost call them like lycanthropy in your myths that you're more used to, but things are like killer whales that can take human form and walk the land. Lots of things about wolves that can change form. There are myths about man-eating creatures that pair up quite nicely to the Wendigo myths that you are familiar with. There seems to be lots of things that can chew up and spit you out in the myths of Alaska, although none of them seem ghostly. You know, all the things in this book that you're reading are all very physical manifestations. There's very little in the way of incorporeal. And there's none of the legends that you see talk about kind of the slime that's left behind.
Okay.
Yep. And most of these, something else I'll give you for your extra success there, is in most of these legends, wily hunters are able to usually trick the creatures who seem to not be really intelligent, but do seem to be able to talk and communicate with the natives. So often a hero story is a particular Aleut who's able to trick or mislead one of these creatures into their demise. All right.
Making a note of that.
Okay. So after you guys have warmed up a bit, made your purchases, you see somebody that is holding up a placard for GBG Inc.
I bring around. I go. This airfield has a airport has, you know, like a McDonald's or Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
In, right?
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Having read that the McDonald's has closed down, I load up on burgers to take with me.
All right. You get the sack of $1 specials.
I also charge them to the company account.
Of course. This is meals.
And as he walks by, I will grab one out of the bag.
There you go. All right. The guy that you're kind of coming up to has got a headset with a microphone. It's around his neck. He's got a ball cap on. His face is really red, like it's been exposed to a lot of weather. The end of his nose is peeling just a little bit. He's wearing corduroys and a thick winter shirt. He's kind of looking around. He's got aviator glasses perched up on his head as well. He's youngish. You figure under 30. Oh, hey, you the guys? I'm Dale. He throws the sign in a trash can.
We don't want to be the guys, but yeah, we're the guys.
Oh, great, great. We're running a little bit behind. If you all are ready, let me grab your bags and take you out to old Lucille.
The Lucille part I have no problem with, but you said old Lucille?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's been around for a while. Inherited her from my grandpa. Keep her in great shape, though. She's a beaut. Come on out this way.
And your grandfather just recently retired, right?
Oh, no, no, no. He's been dead for years.
Son of a... Ladies first.
Yep, he takes you out to a private part of the airfield. And there's a couple of young men that are pulling out this rickety-looking plane. This one does have pontoons. They're kind of pulling it out with ropes out of near a shelter. And it's painted up red. It's got yellow lettering on the side to say Lucille. And there's like a halo over the L, and there's like a devil's pitchfork over the E. And he's like, hey, just toss your gear in the back there, and we'll get going.
Toss my like single suitcase and just hold on to my new carry bag with the laptop and the excessively dangerous ghost sniffer.
Okay.
Toss my knapsack in the back and go in and look for the most comfortable looking seat inside.
Oh, that's the pilot seat. Really bad. They're all bucket seats and they've all got these crisscrossing seat belts to hold you tight into place. There's not a lot of headroom in here either. The pilot jumps in and he's doing his panels. He gets the props going and a flame burst out on the left wings. He's like, oh, hold on a second. Grabs a fire extinguisher from the back of his seat and runs out, puts out the flame, comes back in. Nothing to worry worried about. Just a little small fuel leak there. Strap in, everybody. You also have headphones that are near the seats as well with microphones. And when you take off, you understand why. The vibrations in the plane are so bad, your dental fillings feel like they're going to pop out at any
moment. Put on the headset.
It's loud enough that you can't talk with one another.
Bert wouldn't try to kill us this early in the game, would he?
Just don't ask me to make him have pilot roles. So with the headphones, you're able to communicate with one another. It's got a very small, it's basically the radios with a very small area. It also cuts down on the sound of the plane that's rattling and grinding around you. Very uncomfortable flight as the seats just kind of buck and jump, and it's not a very steady flight at all. Daryl also seems to have a penchant for going very high and then dropping down lower suddenly. He tells you, and he warns you each time. It's like, yeah, I get better gas mileage when I do this.
Of course, you got to keep a constant RPM, and that means changing elevation.
So below you, stretched out below you, you see the various islands that make up the chain. And it's a pretty quick jaunt, thankfully. 20 minutes later, you are coming in for a sea landing. And Daryl is pretty practiced at this. It's a bumpy ride, and it's a bumpier landing. Your head's in the back of your neck smack onto the roof of the plane when it impacts with the water.
Not me. I have taken the head between legs crash position.
Yes, the kiss your ass goodbye position. So he pulls up to the pier. There's a policeman there and another man who are throwing out a line to help pull in the plane. Your luggage is unloaded. And man who's wearing very native clothing. Called mufflucks, which are, you know, these shoes that got fur on the outside. He's got a parka on. He's got the ski glasses on. So once again, he's got this kind of red, weather-beaten face. And he comes out to meet you all. It's like, you're GBG? I'm Adrian Smith. I'm the one who sent the contract over. Glad you made it, and as quick as you did. Notices that you've got a newspaper rolled up under your arm there, Sharon. It says, I guess you heard that we've had another death since we contacted you last.
Yeah, I read it.
Well, this is this here is Officer Mabry. He's the... He's our police chief in town. He just looks at you guys. He doesn't offer a hand or anything. Just tips his hat a little bit to Sharon.
Chief?
A little tobacco juice to spat out. We're going to take you to a place where you can set up and your apartments, but we'd like you to get on this as soon as possible. If you don't mind, if you guys can hop in the back, and there's an old Jeep. And there's little sheriff star on the side of the Jeep as well. And so this is a police vehicle. Yeah, he takes the wheel. Oh, we only got one hotel on the island, but it's pretty nice. Back during the Navy days, when people when their time was up here, there's a spike furlough between when they were leaving and when their flights went out. So these hotels were set up for them, so we can move them out of the base housing, set them up here for a day or two before their flights went out. They're pretty comfortable. Heat works well. We got satellite internet and some satellite television. We'll set you up there with a suite of rooms. If you got anything else you might need.
I look at the other two. He will need one of those yellow security mop buckets. Very important.
Okay. I understand you all have a
ringer on the side.
You'll have a very unique business. I understand that your tools could be a little bizarre, I suppose, but I'm sure we can find one of those buckets in the janitorial closet there.
He will need full access to the janitorial closet. Very important. Give him the key.
So they bring you up to a brick set of apartments. It's five stories. There are a few cars pulled into the parking lot, and a few snowmobiles as well. He gets you checked in at the front desk. You've got four rooms all in a row, adjoining doors, all on the third floor. And as per requested, he gives you the access key for the janitorial closets. He says, well, I'll give you an hour to settle in, and then if you'll meet me back down in the lobby, we'll take you on over to the police station. Bodies are there, at least the last few. And, we don't know what else you might need, but that's a good place as any to start, I guess.
Yes, let's do that. Terrain question. Is there snow on the ground with the snowmobiles?
Oh, yes.
A lot of snow? A little snow?
Quite a bit of snow. The roads seem to be pretty well maintained, though, the few that you saw. But a lot of people do use snowmobiles to get around. You also see a few old military vehicles that have tracks as well. You've seen some of those around. Most people favor Jeeps and 4x4s otherwise.
All right, team, let's get going.
Yep, your bedrooms, once again, are all in a row, joining doors between all of them. They're pretty nice. They're well-kept, fairly Spartan. Each room does have both Wi-Fi and Ethernet jack. You got a full-size refrigerator and kitchen area.
Does it have a mini bar?
It does, in fact. It actually has a maxi bar. you have full-size bottles of various alcohol in the refrigerators.
Just checking.
All right. As I said, this is the third floor. You counted maybe half a dozen parked vehicles outside. You figure that they don't serve a lot of purpose here. This seems to be like temporary housing. Coming in, most of the houses that you passed were single or at most double story, and they're all got this. They're all painted in really tacky pastel colors.
Look nice. Wouldn't mind settling down here if I didn't mind the cold. I mind the cold.
All right. You guys seem to have the floor to yourself. It doesn't seem like anything else is occupied. There are eight apartments to the floor. You guys have all of one side. The other side doesn't look like there's been any activity. And yes, there is a janitorial closet on this floor. Complete with yellow bucket and wringer. And a whole host of cleaning chemicals.
What kind of locks does it have?
Your basic Schlage lock.
Okay, so it's not one of those swipe card locks?
Nope, not at all.
And the
your
doors
rooms are
on
the same. Your rooms are the same. Key lock.
Hey, Penry. Penry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you see if that key works on other doors, like, you know, a master key?
Might need me to clean all the rooms.
Maybe we want to hide in under our bed in a different room. You never know.
All
it's
right,
your first time out, right?
The janitorial key does not act as a master key, but it does open all the janitorial closets, so you figure all the closets are keyed the same.
You can hide in the closet if you need to.
Good to know, good to know. We will do that if it comes to it.
No elevators, by the way. They have very wide stairwells. You have a very small balcony. It's only a couple of feet wide and deep, and you do have fire escape back there as well.
Okay. Did they give us a particular time to meet up at the...
They told you they'd give you an hour to settle in and then come on downstairs once you're done.
You know, I threw my stuff in the room, bounced on the bed, flopped over, checked the sheets for warmth, found they had none, got the sheets from the other bed, put them on there, doubled up, took the pillows too,
checked under the beds and checked any adjoining doors.
Yep. Once again, the two end rooms, whoever gets to be on those, just have the one adjoining door. The middle rooms have two. So, like, you can open up across the entire, between all four rooms, you can give access to. They bolt on both sides, so you can have privacy. You can bolt both of yours so that the other people can't get in. In the hallway is actually a small laundry area. So you can use a laundromat there. It's not coin op, so you can just use it. You're seeing there's not really any vending machines in the hallway at all, though. You do have the normal guest registry that's out that tells you, you know, call here for room service. They give you a menu of fairly, you know, basic items. They also give you a list of places that deliver in the area. There are a few, a pizza place notably.
Ooh, pizza place.
Yep. And of course, you've got a small kitchenette, so you can cook in your rooms as well.
I heat up one of the burgers that we had and feast down because I lost my lunch earlier.
All right,
we gotta go shopping. I gotta recreate us some ghost-busting tasers like we had last time.
Yeah. Do you think that we should actually just sleep in the two middle rooms and bolt the doors to the end rooms?
You're always welcome in my room.
How warm are you?
I don't like to brag.
Good.
Yes.
Did you give us four rooms because you think Joshua might join us, or is there some other reason they gave us four?
Just because I thought Joshua might join you, or you can use one as a command room, but that's what's given to you.
All right.
Yep. The only things that are vaguely interesting is your water heater here. They're the new electric variety where it's hot water on demand. So, you know, it heats the water as you need it, as opposed to having a tank. The heat in the room is provided by apparently somewhere in the basement is a boiler room, because it's got the old fashioned steam heat. May just be more efficient than heating an individual room. Not quite sure, but those are the two things of interest.
All right. So we're stopping by the general store, I guess, on the way to the police.
Are you supposed to meet them in the lounge or at the police station?
Just at the lounge. You don't have a vehicle here, so Adrian's going to be your drive around person.
Okay, so we should just, like, get settled in, then meet him, and then stop at the general store.
Yeah, but okay. There wasn't much to settle in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he figures it gives you an hour if you wanted to clean up or anything like that. But yeah, he's waiting downstairs in the lounge. He's got a sandwich and he's watching the ball game, having a beer or two when you come down. Looks like he didn't leave. He's just waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, what's your name again, Adrian?
Yeah, you can call me Andy. Most people
Andy,
do.
Andy, great. Chuck him on the shoulder. Glad to meet you. We need, long flight. Couldn't bring all our equipment with us. You wouldn't believe the forms I had to sign for this doohickey right here. I slapped the goose sniffer.
Oh yeah, we've got a couple stores in the area. We got a Lowe's out here now. If you need any kind of hardware stuff, we got a general store as well. The police might be able to furnish you with any other particular gear you might need.
Got a Radio Shack?
We got a Radio Depot. If that'll help.
My home away from home.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go down to the police office first. Mabry's waiting for us there. He's going to be a bit standoffish. He feels like the community is kind of interfering with a police investigation. But you know, this whole place is kind of ran by committee, and we decided to bring you all in. But you know, Mabry's feeling a little bit of hurt feelings that his department hasn't been able to stop this yet. So expect that he's going to be a little cold, but he'll still help.
How many cops does this place have anyway?
Well, other than Officer Mabry, we've got five other deputies.
Sounds about right, I suppose. Kind of a lot, honestly.
Well, we get, it depends. It's time of year. We got two of those guys that come in over the winter seasons because we're multi-purpose. The police office here also helps to direct traffic when we have a lot of accidents. That's the most usual thing. We don't get a lot of crime around here, but the place is so spread out.
You're
we
right.
Need those officers.
Not so much for the population, but the space. Gotcha.
Exactly.
That makes a lot more sense.
Oh, pile in, guys. Same.
Shotgun.
Yeah.
When Penry comes down, he's still got a smock with him.
Okay. And he doesn't ask questions.
Does he have the bucket now?
No, he's just got his mop. It's got Bessie written on the handle.
All right.
What good is a mop without a bucket?
This is my mop.
Where's your bucket?
Well, there are many like those, but that mop is his.
It looks like the police station when you arrive, and it's like a 5-minute ride. Everything, all the civilized things seem to be pretty close together here. But the police office is also hosting the mail office as well. Both the police station and the mail office are the same building. And the patrol cars, they're all trucks. They got a few snowmobiles as well. And you notice they got a kennel with several husky dogs.
But they bring around for the sled.
In fact, see a dog sled in the compound there as well.
Amazing. I would love this place if I didn't hate the cold so much. I really hate the cold.
So they bring you in. The office is pretty tight. There's only one separate room that's got it says dispatch over it. Everything else, all the other officers just work together. All the desks are kind of pulled in facing each other. Officer Mabry does have an office of his own. Doesn't appear to have a door on it. I mean, it's an office, but there's no door to close. It's just wide open. And they seem to be all looking over some faxes that have just recently come in. Officer Mabry greets you there and says, well, here's everything we got. And he hands you over the police file. Now, we've got the last body still here. We got kind of a cold room attached to this building. And we can show you that one. The rest of the bodies have already been claimed by the deceased's relatives. You got any particular questions, I can direct you to the officer that may have taken any notes specifically, or in my case, I was overseeing the last body.
I open up the
here.
Files.
You can take my here. Go in my office over there. You can use my desk. I'll bring out some coffee and tea in just a bit.
All right. Let me read these files before I ask any questions that would be, you know, in the files. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shuffle up into a desk, plot open the files and say, Veronica, well, let's see what you see about the hoodoo that you do.
So the room is pretty Spartan. He's got a desk, a few chairs around, but on the wall is a large topographical map of ADAC. There's a bunch of push pins nearby as well, and there's a whiteboard across the room from that. And currently plotted out on the whiteboard, they've got magnetic markers up with pictures of the deceased, the case that you're working on, as well as marked off by color on the maps where they were found. So that's basically, this is the case that they're working on now. So the folder, all the wounds on the bodies are consistent with animal attacks, claws, bite marks, parts of the victims being devoured or chewed on. You got high detailed pictures of the wound channels, including the slimy fluid that was witnessed inside. Officer reports that there were no tracks found around the bodies, animal or otherwise. No physical evidence at all. No transfer evidence. So, like, no fibers, no prints, no nothing left at the crime scene. Two of them happened in places where there was video recording devices in effect. And so they've got down requisition numbers for the videos, tagged in the file as well. You notice that he does have a TV and a VCR, a DVD set up here as well.
Does it seem to have the video set with the equipment?
If you poke around, yes, you find a couple of DVDs that have the same numbers that are marked in the files.
All right, pop them in.
Okay. One of them is overseeing, looks like the back area of the airport, at least. You're seeing a chain link fence, you're seeing an airfield. This guy is apparently having a smoke out back. You see him lifted bodily into the air as you watch as his stomach is torn open, entrails starting to spread out. He's dropped on the ground, and you can see bits of him just being torn apart and chewed, but you don't see what's doing it. There's plenty of light, but you see this happening. There's just no one doing it. This was a man in his probably his late 30s. He's wearing a jumpsuit, probably worked at the airfield. If you match it up with the criminal record, yes, indeed he is. He's a mechanic working on the airfield, third shift.
I've seen enough. Let's go home.
Based on how high the guy's being pulled up, can you get a rough estimate on how tall or how large whatever grabbed him is?
Yeah, that won't even need a roll. Going by some markers you can see around, you figure the thing has to be over 7 feet tall.
Could be, Kodiak bear sized.
Could be.
They would know if there was a bear on the island, right?
Oh, yes, and there are bear on the island.
There are bear on the island?
Yes.
What did it do? Swim here, stupid bears.
As a matter of fact, yes.
Oh, they do that. All right. So, is there anything in common with any about any of the victims?
Well, yeah.
All live here.
All the death wounds are similar. They look like they're claw and bite marks from animals, large animal.
But I mean, in their personal lives.
Well,
family.
They all work for Alut, which is the organization that pretty much runs this place. One of them worked on the airfield, which is owned by the Alut Corporation. The woman worked in a diner, 24-hour diner. She was taken and she went out for a smoke break. When you look at all of the victims, they were all taken alone with no witnesses in sight other than the video camera in the case of two of them.
Were they all going out to smoke?
No. One was a lady that was taking her trash out. And the other one was a man that was pulled out of his car. His car had stalled. overnight, and he was pulled out of his car. Some of his body was left in the car.
That looks like a pretty nasty bear attack. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see.
Who would edit out this film to take out the bear? That's crazy talk. It's clearly right. Not fabricated.
All right, Terry, you keep going on the current thing. I'm going to try a search and find out if there's any. It's been any attacks like that in the past.
Sure, you're going to have to ask one of the officers about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Officer Mabry, he said, well, we have had plenty of attacks like that, but they were always animal attacks. Sometimes bear was the most usual, but not specifically like this.
Okay.
I mean, it was always evident that it was an animal attack before. We had spore, we had animal tracks.
Okay, just wondering, trying to rule a few things out.
We still have any of the, fluid found in the wounds?
Yeah. Our crime lab's got some of that. Well, when I say lab, I mean, we got to ship everything out to get it analyzed, but we got a good collection area. Come on out back. It's in another building. Is everybody going, or is anyone staying back?
Oh, I'm going.
Doing stuff with the video or anything? Okay. Okay, so yeah, he takes you out back, and there's another building that's set up. This is kind of like a metal shed that looks like fairly recent. They've got a heating unit stuck on it. They go in, and half of it is basically a morgue, and the other half is a small lab. There's no one working in it right now. The outside of it it's padlocked and barred, and so the Officer Mabry, unlocks everything, lets you in, and he says, "Well, there's only one body right now. It's out on a cart in the cold room." Takes you over to the lab and says, "Well, here are the vials of the fluid. We sent one off to be analyzed, but here's the rest of it." And he shows you those.
Officer Mabry, I'm going to need.
That's Mabry.
Mabry. Excuse me. Pardon. Officer, let me just correct my notes here. Mabry. I'm going to need a taser. Preferably more than one.
A taser? Well, yeah, the department's got some. Don't have much call for them around here, but I can authorize that.
Understand that you won't be getting it back in its original format if you give it to me.
Well, you need working ones? We got. Come on over here.
If you got broken ones, that's even better. Yeah. I can fix them up for you.
Yeah, in the lab area is up. There's also a setup here for like a machine shop. It's like, oh yeah, there's a bin of parts over there. See if there's anything in there you can use.
My home away from home. I'm starting to not mind the cold so much after all. So I go snooping through some parts, try to find taser. I don't need it right away, but
the first test. Parts. Yeah, there's some tasers that have been decommissioned. The batteries are here. Quite a few things.
I set the parts aside for later, and I'm going to need that fluid to do test on the first test. Henry, prepare the fire extinguisher.
There is a fire extinguisher on the wall, actually.
I do cleaning. There's no fire here to clean up.
Only one. Go ahead and buy one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some chemical spills in my time. I sniff the fluid and taste it.
All right. Give me, we're going to call this an unfamiliar. Well, no, we'll. I'll give you your occupation as a familiar focus skill. Go ahead and give me a roll.
Mm-hmm. 12.
Okay, and what's your focus?
Focus is 5.
All right, so you do get 10 amazing. Over. Well, you got 10 over.
No.
Oh yeah, no? I guess you didn't, did you? Yeah. Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah, it's nothing that you have. It's not any kind of cleaning chemical or anything that you've had to clean before. Got kind of a sour, bitter taste to it at the same time. Tastes almost like sulfur.
You was tasting the fire extinguisher or the
Fluid.
Oh, the fluid.
If you're checking it out there, Steven, so I'm going to give you an we'll call it unfocused roll, since you've been on a few cases.
All right, inventor. So, I'm testing. See, it's reactive to electricity. Yeah, no,
this isn't that in particular. This is just if you have an idea what it might be, just from your ghost busting that you've done so far.
Yeah, okay, since I'm just a janitor, I don't know if I will have come across ectoplasm before, but I might have cleaned some up.
No, sorry.
All right, so give me an unfocused roll. You're looking at equal to your focus or lower.
Oh,
hey, looks like you got one.
This is ectoplasm.
Yeah. Of course it's ectoplasm. Why wouldn't it be ectoplasm? Yep.
Usually this stuff evaporates within an hour or two of the manifestation, though.
And it's so cold here, it doesn't evaporate
could be.
Properly.
Yeah, it could be. Although it's not cold here inside the lab. Of course, it's all stoppered up in a bottle, too, though.
And then I test to see if it reacts violently to electricity.
As usual, yes, it does. So it evaporates once you expose it to electricity.
Right.
Which is what is common with ectoplasm that you've worked with before.
We're dealing with a ghost bear, gentlemen and lady. Maybe it's a Wendigo. Who knows with these things? That's what we bring Veronica around with. And can you hear me over... can you hear me over the breathing?
Yeah.
Oh no, it didn't hit the room with us!
Yep, 11.
Anyway, working theory right now, ghost bear. Maybe Wendigo, maybe Yeti, who knows with these things. Ghost bear's close enough. I'm going to prepare something to zap the bejesus out of it.
I start
doing that.
If I remember correctly, Yetis don't really have too much ectoplasm, so more likely, well, ghost bear's good, but Wendigo's probably more likely.
Do you need me to roll to see if I can build something?
What are you trying to build?
Projectile taser for zapping things, particularly ghosts.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, you can do that.
Focus rolled, unfocused?
Focused, you're an inventor, right? So focused.
Yep.
The higher your success, the more effective and the better the range is going to be.
All right.
So you're trying to hit your focus number or higher. That's only a 5.
Which actually hits my focus number.
Okay, so you have something very basic. It's not very strong, at least no more than what a basic taser will do. Distance is about the same as well.
So I got a standard hand taser working from spare parts, though.
Yep. Well, they have like the touch ones. You've made one that has the fires out the barbs and the wire.
This is just the prototype. Just the prototype. Yep. Henry, keep this on yourself at all times. Maybe you can attach it to the end of your mop.
And Jameis sounds like he's having a heart attack.
Are you okay there, Jameis?
I wonder if it's because I'm near my dehumidifier. Like there might be what's coming through.
Better now. All right, so yeah, you have a taser device.
Do I need a roll for a second taser device?
No, I'll say the roll will allow you to make as many as you got parts for, so you can make one for everybody.
I'm more than willing to roll again. I can only do better.
No.
Because you won. Why couldn't you have been a 3 or something?
Yep. Well, once again, you can spend one of your plot points to make that a 2 instead of a 1. or more if you want to spend more.
If I made it a 3, that
would Well, if you made it a 3, that would give you an extra level of success. A 2 really wouldn't give you anything more than you've got now.
Is it worth it?
Do you give out more plot points later in the game, or do I only get the 6 I start with?
Usually you only get the 6. I haven't seen anything in the system saying that I can dole out more.
So for every 3 I have, I get advancement, right?
Yeah, that you have left over. Now, I also can give experience points above and beyond with that for the game. But for every 3 you have left over, you can turn in for an experience. Or if you have 2 or less, you can just hold on to them. And then the next game, you'll start with, like, say, 8 instead of 6.
Exactly what can you turn the experience into?
To turn an unfocused into a focused. To turn an unfamiliar into a unfocused. To get a plus on something that's already focused, although you need a lot of experience for that. The pluses mean an instant level of success. For instance, you can get a plus to your occupation, which means whenever you roll it, if you succeed, you get another success above your normal success, as if you rolled 10 over.
Okay. Let's see. If I made it a 20.
So here's what I'll let you do. If you want to spend the plot points for this and make it an extra level success, you can choose either longer distance or more power.
And if I make it, you know what? I'm just going to throw in 4 and do longer distance and power.
Okay, sure. All right.
I throw in 4. That makes it a 5 times 5.
Yep.
So that's a.
That's two,
does it matter which die I add it to?
Well, you want to add it to the lowest since you're multiplying. So.
But since I'm adding more than one, I can.
Yeah, you can change. You can add to whichever die you want.
2 by 6 one. Is still going to be worse than 3 by 5.
Well, yeah, but I'm throwing in 4.
Huh.
So
can you go above 6?
No, you
can't go above 6. Yeah. So.
All right. So 5 by 5, I got 25.
Which is 2 levels over what you needed. So you got a success and 2 levels over.
So it's like I add in some ionizing laser that, you know, the electricity travels across. No more of these silly wires. Super science.
What you can do is, I've actually seen these, is you can make a tasing shotgun shell.
I make some of those too.
Yeah.
I got a 25.
So that gives you the distance because you can stick them in a shotgun. So you can get the distance of a shotgun. And, you know, you've got a high load, tase load on the end of that.
I'm just waiting to find out that no one has a focused of shooting.
Veronica, do you have a focused shooting?
Oh, heck no.
Yeah.
No,
it was a desk jockey.
It would most definitely be shooting for something that's got that kind of range.
So, no, I do the other thing.
Or we borrow a deputy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can borrow deputies.
Here's your problem. Problem solved. Guns.
More sacrificial lambs, the better.
Yep. All right, so yeah, you make some tase loads. It can be loaded into a shotgun for both your range and your payload. That probably takes about an hour. While he's doing that, anyone else want to look over anything, do anything else?
I want to check and see of the murders. Do they all occur around the same time?
They all occur during the dark. Not at the same time exactly. No, but all after sun's gone down.
Okay. And the other thing I want to do is look at the locations and see if there's any pattern to them.
Okay. Go ahead and make this an occupational or a focus skill roll.
Okay.
Depending on how well you roll, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Just because you're a student, you're good at studying things like this.
And that is an 18.
Oh, 18. Okay, so that's one. That's a success plus a level above. Okay, so I mentioned the map of ADAC he had on the wall. He's got some push pins of all the body sites. And you're noticing that, no, they're not happening exactly the same area. But if this is an animal, they don't kill near their dens. And so if you're looking at this map and you're looking at the distribution of the bodies and they're all within the city, there's this area right in the middle where there are no bodies. That's almost equidistant from all the other bodies.
4 points. Yep.
Yep. And
yeah, it's a wide area because, as Jameis says, four bodies is not a great distribution. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely an area that you can look at. And in this area, the mall is in this area. The airport is close to this area. There's a few residences in there.
Didn't you say one of the bodies was at the airport, though?
Yep. Brought out on the outside of the airport. Like, the airport is large.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. So
that body would have been past the chain link fence into the area that was like more not city, you know, like where the wilderness begins.
Just out of curiosity, I'm going to ask one of the officers, one of the deputies. In this area, has there been any new construction?
New construction, no. But over the last several years, I mean, the military moved out. There's been a lot of deconstruction when they're taking things away. They lost a lot of the infrastructure, but they took a lot of stuff out as well.
Anything been demolished recently?
Thinks about it. Not wholesale, no, but the Navy did break some stuff down that wasn't part of our acquisition.
Huh.
You looking for anything in particular?
Something big, something old.
Well, the biggest thing they did was where the mall is out now, they had kind of a bunker underneath there. And they did a lot of earth moving under that, put in a new foundation to hold up the mall after what they removed. But that's probably the largest construction effort that went on.
Okay. And
that was about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was based on 2010. So that was 7 years ago.
About 7 years ago. Anything more recent than that they broke down?
Oh no, not really. They left enough infrastructure around and housing around that we haven't needed to build. Navy construction is pretty solid, so nothing's really fallen down in that time.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buildings here that have gone unused. It's just the population's so small now. I mean, back in the heyday, this place used to have, you know, upwards of 2,000-3,000 people around. Now, you know, 350 or so of us.
Any of those buildings ever have a bear kept in them?
A bear? No, no, we like to keep those out of town, man.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking.
Anything of the native Alaskan people around?
The Aleuts, there's a few. They're more mixed than anything else.
Anything of these gets disturbed recently?
Yeah, not that I know of. I mean, I can see if we got any contacts. Most of the Aleut population, what they're left here, they work out at the docks. They help out with the fishing plant. Most of them don't live here in town.
Mm-hmm. Did they have a church or something?
A church? Huh, no. No, no. I mean, we got us a Unitarian church here. Puts it out on the map.
Well, that's your problem.
That's not a proper house of God.
So, Terry,
yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking that whatever we're looking for might be coming out of that area. I circle it on the map.
Could lay out some fish for it.
Oh, well, let's go commandeer Officer Mabry and get him a shotgun and load him up with these firepower.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good 4 hours before dark. If you want to, you know, he'll be glad to drive you around wherever you need to go. Yeah, he takes a look at the loads you made for the shotguns, and yeah, he takes a few and takes a shotgun.
Oh, one other question for you. All of the attacks, are they about the same distance from this area?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to put up a, basically tell Officer Mabry that, well, if you look at this, maybe it's like, who, you know, what kind of people would be out after dark in this area?
Yeah, we noticed that as well. I mean, yeah, we don't have really enough bodies yet to make a really great pinpointing the area. But in this area here, we got some residential housing, got the mall, got part of the airport. There's a lot in here.
Huh. Okay, and what time does the mall close?
9 o'clock.
Like all malls all over the world. Okay.
Anybody what else have anything you? Before we're at the scene that we're wishing to investigate?
I don't.
Hmm. Do you want to look at the body for anything?
I could give it the once over with first aid, but they already got a report on the body.
Yep. Medical examiner says it was an animal attack.
No reason to argue with it. So, I can look at it just on the off chance there's something we disagree with.
Sure, you can.
So I look at it in case there's an off chance something I might disagree with.
Now, did you take a skill for medical? Because adventure won't give you that.
I have first aid under focused.
Okay, sure. Go ahead and give me a roll.
There's no actual medical skill.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless you have it by occupation, then you're not going to... Then yeah. First aid's all there is.
Yeah, first aid will give you a limited amount of information. But yeah, sure, you can roll it. Just to see if you agree with the...
4, that which is my my number.
Your focus is 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. So yeah, you don't see anything that sticks out. Sure looks like an animal wound, do you?
Yep. Even though I know it is a ghost bear. Looks like a ghost bear to me.
Ghost bear still a bear. Just because still it's bear. An undead bear, you know, that doesn't change the fact that it's a bear.
Or ghost leg bear. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, and
yep. Oh, you do notice that while the coroner has it down as animal attack, he has not specified what kind of animal.
Do you want to put down ghost bear?
Yeah, it is a little early before our scientific rigor determines that this actually is a ghost bear. Could be a ghost werebear. Just saying.
As long as we don't get caught on the weird beast here.
That would be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so where do you want to go?
The location that Veronica pinpointed.
Well, let's just say there are multiple locations in that area.
Probably start with residential.
Okay.
And I'm like, Mabry, we, you know, been doing some barn work, giving you some firepower that should work on whatever this invisible menace is. Hopefully it's only invisible on cameras, otherwise we're ultra screwed. Come to think of it, I might want to go look at that film again just to run a few filters through it, but that's for later after we've gone through this bad idea of hunting it in the daylight. So let's knock on a few doors of the residence here because, you know, she did the smart thing, drew some lines between the pins. You already figured this out, but these houses are at the epicenter.
you know, if it's sure.
So there are six dwellings in that area. Each of them hold, they're basically like duplexes. They hold two family units apiece. So there are, you know, there are 12 families. Only half of them are occupied, so six families.
Officer Mabry, can I safely assume that you pretty much know everybody that lives in this neighborhood already?
Oh, yeah, all the regulars. You know, we get population swells about twice whenever we get the hunters and trappers through, but this is not quite the time of year for it.
And they wouldn't live in this particular housing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll rent these out to them, but most of the times they'll be camping out. But when they decide to stay extended time, yeah, we rent out these houses to them.
So, we don't, just to give us the 411 on them, you'll be able to, you know, tell us stuff about the families
right now, right?
Not waste our
time. We don't have a lot of problems in this area. Most of the peacekeeping in this area revolves around, well, honestly, natural events. Wrecks, occasionally or caribou will come into town. We'll have to take care of that. We're as much animal control as we are people control.
Right. Any of these families big hunters?
Well, everybody around here does a little hunting. You know, all the groceries gets flown in, so I think it's a little pricey. Most people do a little bit of hunting or fishing to get the protein.
But none of these families more so than the others?
Well, the Jeffs might. You know, they do a little bit more hunting than most. But his wife's Alut, or at least I think she's mixed blood. But they do caribou, they do bear occasionally. He takes hunters out occasionally. He knows a lot of the good trails in the area.
Okay. Any of the other families at all, Alut?
Pure? No.
Or mixed?
There's quite a few. You get that out here. Family's been here. You know, 10 or more years, you usually get a little bit of Alut blood here and there.
Just kind of rubs off on them, right. But, you know, let's go talk to this Jeff's person first, I guess.
Yeah, sure. He looks at his watch. He said, yeah, he should be getting off a shift at the plant about now. So, yeah, this will work.
All right. You still got that shotgun on you?
Yeah, of course.
You don't mind at all bringing it into his house or anything like that?
Well, it might be a little rude, but I suppose you think it's necessary.
Just say I look shifty. Yeah. Give him the thumbs up.
No, Sharon, they've still just been discussing on where they're driving to. Your adventure guy wants to go and check out some of the housing in the area. Determined there are six families that live in that area.
And we're at the moment going to one, the biggest hunter, who actually has half Alut wife, it seems. If nothing else, we can ask him for information. Did you get that?
Sure, if that's where you're heading. You pull out outside of a house that's painted in this pastel green.
Lovely color. Lovely.
Right. There's a little bit of smoke coming out of the backyard. Officer checks on that first, and Jeff's wife is out back, and she seems to be smoking some salmon, doing a little tent smoking to basically make fish jerky out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls out, it's like, Miss Jeffs. She's like, oh, Officer Mabry. And she opens up a side door and brings you into the back area. She's like, oh, well, what can I do for you? I was like, well, he takes his hat off and he's like, well, ma'am, we're here doing some investigation on the recent deaths in the area. We called in, these are the professionals that the populace need to call in. Yeah, well, she wipes some fish guts off her hand, and she comes over to greet you all. She's a small woman, maybe 5'1", 5'2", round, you know, pleasant smile on her face, high cheeks. She does have the skin tone of natives of the area. Well, what can I do for you? Come on in. Don't
Thank
be shy.
You Thank you, kindly,
man. The smell gets a little getting used to, but it's fine smell.
So have you by any chance seen any ghost bears or anything of the sort?
You're leading with the ghost bears, are you?
Absolutely.
She looks over the officer, blinks a few times, looks back at you and says, what was that?
Anything, particularly ghost bears or anything at the supernatural origins department, that's the kind of things we're interested in at the moment.
Well, she thinks about it and she says, well, not since I was a little girl. I mean, nothing since I've moved here to ADAC.
I will point out that the community did contact Ghosts Be Gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's why, you know, she's it's just leading with the ghost bear thing. That kind of, you know, she says, yeah, when I was a little girl, I mean, you know, a lot of the natives have seen what you're calling supernatural. It's not really supernatural in this area. It's all part of the area.
All right, so you haven't, you know, since the murder started, seen anything?
No.
Husband, you know, hunts anything interesting in the recent history?
Caribou and bear, but that season's over with.
Tell me about the bears.
Brown bears, mostly.
Brown bears. And would a brown bear be big enough?
A really big one, maybe.
Really big one by chance?
Oh, no. Now, we do have, we got some light sensors around the house, and they've been going off middle of the night a few times. We figure some fox maybe setting them off. You know, we haven't found any tracks.
I go, aha, and point over to Veronica and Sharon's character.
Yeah, did you take any trophies from the bears?
Teeth, claws. I mean, we mostly eat the meat. Jeff's got a head on his office.
Oh, is the head new?
No, it's been here for years.
Oh. Any, recent teeth or claws?
Oh, not since season stopped, no.
Okay, question. These murders have started since the season?
Oh, the season's been over with almost 3 months now.
Okay, and the murders have all been since the season stopped?
Well, after. All the murders have been within the last couple of weeks.
Okay. And pretty much everybody sticks to the season, right?
Pretty much. Occasionally we'll have hunters out that want to rough it. They think for some reason that being out there while it's snow on the ground and colder makes them better hunters. Just means that the game's more scarce, really. We get a few of those, but no one that's contracted with my husband.
Oh. If they hadn't contracted your husband, do you know who they might be contracting?
Well, there's a bunch of us in this area that will do tours here and there. I mean, the Aleut Corporation, that's the main people that deal with the hunters, but it's all very commercial, very safe. They only take them in the well-trod areas. You know, it's kind of more of a hand-holding experience through them. So when the hunters come out, when they want the more local experience, few people like my husband will take them out. But my husband's probably does the most business in those lines. He's got a pretty good proven track record. He's never had a customer that wasn't able to bring something back home.
Huh. Did he have anybody recently that he turned down?
Oh, I don't turn anyone down. But like I said, season ended several months ago. I haven't had anyone since. That's pretty normal.
Oh, okay. Huh, Terry?
All right, as you guys are talking, snowmobile pulls up, and it seems like Mr. Jeffs is home. He comes around back since he sees the police car out front, and he's like, oh, Mabry, nice to see you. And he throws the officer a beer, catches it, and puts it in his coat and says, I'll take this for later. Jeff's, these folks here have some questions for you. These are the experts that you all hired. Yes, his name is Jeff Jeffs. And you'll come out. Hello, guys. You got some questions for us, huh? He pulls out the rest of the six-pack. He says, come on in when it's warm.
God, yes. Thank you. And Trump right inside. Mm-hmm. Hopefully with maybe with a shotgun.
Yeah, if you want him to, he'll come in. Yeah, there's a fire roaring, and he just tells you to, yeah, have a seat on the couch. doles out his six-pack. So what questions do you have? We haven't personally seen anything. We didn't know too well anybody that was killed. I mean, of course, in the small community, you know everybody, but wasn't particularly friendly with any of them.
Your wife mentioned that you had a motion sensor or a light sensor outside.
Yeah, mostly it's for the animals. You know, we have the usual trash cans out back with the lock lids, but sometimes putting the motion sensors up with the lights scare them off. So, you know, it's a pain in the ass to go around and pick up those trash cans every morning.
Now, is it a motion sensor or a light sensor?
Both. It's a motion sensor that triggers a light.
Ah, yes. Very important that. Would you say what time it was?
It's always after dark. I mean, you can see the light come on through the window of our bedroom. So it wakes me up sometimes.
Yeah, but if you had to hazard a guess about what time of day it was, well, night, when it came on.
Well, last times I remember, somewhere between 2 and 4 in the morning.
2 and 4 in the morning. And the two people that were, and to the GM, the two people that were on camera when they died, we have right. 2 or 4.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Okay.
Some of them happened earlier, though. Some of them were as early as like midnight to 1, but a lot of them seemed to happen between, the bulk of them happened between 2 and 4.
All right. So we have, if you ever see, my advice to you, if you ever see that light come on, stay indoors. There's probably a ghost bear outside.
I don't know about a ghost bear, but yeah, I agree that sometimes we do get larger creatures up through here. I mean, we had bears go through town a few times, caribou. You know, they may be good eats, and they may look kind of docile, but you don't want to be hit by one. So that goes without saying. Light's there to frighten them off, not to let me know that they're there so much.
Yep, well...
Occasionally we get wolves and coyotes as well. We get wolves every once in a while, too.
Now, we asked your wife already, but, know of anybody that's, killed a big bear or something, large animal, in the hunting season at all?
Of course. That's what they're here for.
Well, yeah, but local in particular.
Locals? Locals mostly stick to the salmon and fox for the furs. Caribou for the meat. Bears are kind of that's mostly out of towners. They're too much trouble, really. The meat's not that great, so locals wouldn't be hunting bear. That's going to be the out of towners.
Who would have led a party that hunted down a big bear or something?
Well, I did. I don't know about big though. I had a party in. Let me look at my books. He pulls out a journal. He looks through it. Says, yeah, about 4 months ago, I had a party of four hunters come through. They bagged themselves a bear. Yeah, it was average size, nothing too big. They were pretty happy themselves, though.
How tall would you say that bear was, if it stood on its hind legs?
Six and a half foot.
That could be our bear. Did you keep anything from it?
No. That was their bag. So, I instructed them on how to field dress it and how to pack it so that it could be shipped. But otherwise, no, didn't keep anything. Well, why do you think it's a bear?
Just from the claws.
He shakes his head. They called me out to look at some of those bodies. That was no bear.
Not a bear. Please, with your expert opinion.
Well, what was it?
Educate me.
Well, yeah, please. It was some animal, that's for sure, but the bite marks were all wrong for a bear. Mouth shape completely wrong.
Ah, I hadn't thought about the mouth marks. But the claws, they could have been a bear, right?
Could be. Could be, yeah.
Huh, what the bite marks look closest to?
Damned if I know. I mean, if I were looking at that, say, other than its size, I'd say that's shaped like a human mouth.
Aha! Werebear! Ghost werebear! I point at Veronica again.
I nod sagely.
Sometimes they're called, like, wendigos or something.
When you say that, the wife is coming in. She's bringing a plate of some fish bits, and you know she almost drops a tray when you say Wendigo. She recovers and brings it over and says, "Hey, have you ever had salmon before? Smoked salmon?"
Oh, only when I'm hunting Wendigo, I say again.
Yep. She looks kind of cross at you.
Love it.
Yeah, well, she hands a tray around.
Have you ever hunted Wendigo? Can't say I recommend it.
She says, "You've hunted Wendigo?" No, I've heard the legends, of course, when I was a child.
Why don't you tell us about the local legends?
Yes,
please. They vary, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, they're spirits of animals that enter men, usually who have done bad things, and changes them, turns them into eaters of flesh. And once they've killed their first person, they become more beast than man.
Sounds mostly like the Navajo legend, yeah. Do you know any other people that might be Wendigos around here?
Or people who have done bad, very bad things.
We kind of fix these high ceilings. We just get such a large echo in here.
yeah.
It's the spooky campfire stories that we're telling.
Yeah. So far, Mumble is unimpressed. I'm impressed with it. We're getting all kinds of audio artifact, but I have no idea what it's going to sound like on the recording. It might sound okay. Anyway, what did you ask again?
Anyone else around here who may have, you know, anyone who's done bad things?
She kind of shrugs. She says, "We don't really have a lot of problems out here. We got one bar. It closes at 10. A lot of people drink around here, but we don't usually have any real issues with that." She looks over at the officer, who shakes his head and says, "No, there's very little problems with keeping the peace around here. We got a jail cell, but we almost never have anyone in it."
Any out-of-towners come in that were particularly bad men?
Well, that's mostly where those cells are used for, as drunk takes. We get the hunters in, and they're all flushed with the excitement of the hunt, drink a little too much, cause some problems, sometimes be a little too forceful with some of the women in the area. We keep them overnight, let them cool down, but it's not good business to cause them too much harm, as long as they don't do anything that's too bad. Usually slap on the wrist and a small fine.
Any of the hunters, end up taking up permanent residence?
It doesn't happen often. I mean, it's great for, a week or two out with the boys, but it's not exactly a hospitable climate. Most people aren't too willing to come out this way. I mean, we all make pretty good money out here through the Alud Corporation. The fisheries do really well. Sponsored hunting does well. I mean, everyone here makes a pretty good income. It's not true everywhere. Mostly here because of what the Navy left behind. We didn't have to put a lot of money into building or, a lot of the tech was already here.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, nobody actually pays for their house here. It's Alut took over all the buildings. And so if you work for them, you're given a place to stay, includes your heat and electricity, satellite. It's a nice place for that. But, you know, no, not too many people retire here or come out here to live.
Anybody come out recently?
Thanks about it. Most recent I can think of was about 3 years ago. Ex-Navy man who was stationed here. When he retired, he brought his family out.
Anyone import anything in big a couple of weeks ago?
Thinks about it and says, no, nothing really has changed in years.
Nothing, huh? Is Mabry also saying all this?
This is Mabry talking.
Oh, okay. Yep, sorry for wasting your time. If you think of anything of, you know, Wendigos or the sort coming to, you know, disturbing your house at night, you let us know.
Yep. The wife says, you really think it's a Wendigo?
Well, we are in the ghost business and we find out stuff like Wendigos, you know, they really exist. Who knew, right? Your grandparents,
of course they exist.
That too.
Yeah. Actually, I need to go and visit my grandma and grandparents. They had a tribal song that helped keep Wendigo out.
Might want to get a refresher course on that. Just saying. Because, you know, as your husband said, bite marks all giant human-like with, like, bear claws. What else could it be?
Well, the bite marks weren't human-like. You said the mouth was shaped like a human. I mean, it still had very sharp teeth.
Well, yes.
Just the general shape seemed more human than...
I stand by what I say.
Yeah, a brush-up on that might not hurt.
Roger, why don't you even go with her?
I would go love to.
Learn all some of this native don't get us eaten by Wendigo songs.
Yep. Grandparents actually live in town, so if you want to go along, you can go.
I would love to.
Okay. What are the rest of you doing?
I want to have another look at that video.
Okay.
See if I can't do some filters or something on the computers.
Sure, I would call that an occupation role. You can go through and throw various filters in it and see what you can see.
All right, so that would be a focused role?
Yeah.
12 over 4.
Okay, yeah, that's a success with one over. So you put several filters on it. I mean, once again, you're in the ghost-busting business. You've been there for a while, so you know which ones to kind of use. And sure enough... you do find one that shows you kind of a mostly transparent outline of a humanoidish figure standing about 7 feet tall, very muscular. It's got the reticulated legs, kind of like a dog's or a wolf's legs. Seems to be hairy.
Son of a something. Yep. I show it enthusiastically to Mabry.
Yeah. He's just staring wide-eyed at it, just like, well, I'll be.
You keep that shotgun handy. You hear me, my man? Handy. With the filter that I used, I'm like, let's see if I watched the video again to see if, like, the guy saw the creature at all before he was mauled.
Oh, yeah. The guy is definitely seeing something. I mean, he's in terror before he's torn into.
He's, like, holding up his hands,
yeah,
going, no.
Yep. The woman's doing the same.
Woman's doing the same. All right. Just on the off chance that it can go full out invisible on us, I'm going to see if I can't whip up some goggles. Just one pair, just in case, you know.
Okay. Sure, go ahead and give me a focused roll on your occupation.
Nope.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. Yeah, yep, unfortunately no.
It's like, we don't... You, what do you mean you don't have any night vision goggles on the force? How can you not have night vision goggles? You hunt, don't you? Can't help you, sorry.
Not at night. That's what we'd call stupid.
Yeah, just stupid. I agree. Oh, man. But never mind that. It's not invisible. We're going to be okay. But we have a good image of it. So, you know, I get it. And I print out a good image of it.
Okay.
All you know, right. One
it's
of
mostly, it's mostly an outline. You don't see it in like full, you know, full on, other than you can make out that it is quite tall. It's got the reticulated legs, very broad shoulders, arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like print out one of the ones that it's, you know, as it's leaping on the guy. So it's not before, you know, it's, right. You know, got all bloody bits in the way.
All right, Sharon. So, yeah, you go out to visit the grandparents, and let's have you make an occupational roll to see if you can remember the chant. The grandparents are, you know, grateful to, or glad to show it to you.
I'm going to record that, too.
Okay. Sure, your phone can record that, sure.
Yep. And that is a 6.
Okay. What is your focus?
It is a 5.
Okay. Yeah, you do well enough. It's like, yeah, you're singing it with an accent, but close enough.
Okay. All right, that'll work. That'll work.
So some of the lore that you learn is what the chant is for is when the spirit inhabits a person. What this will do is it can drive the spirit out if you can keep it in one location. They tend to try to run, but if you can keep it, like if it's imprisoned or if it's in kept to a small area, you can drive the spirit out. Otherwise, they don't like the rhythm and the singing. So they, you know, if you keep it up, they'll stay away.
So we all regroup and want to do a stakeout. Who wants to do a stakeout? Not me, but who? I'm going to do it anyway. Anybody else not want to do it, but go with me anyhow?
Oh yeah, sure. That's what we're getting paid for.
All right. Well, maybe he's been on duty all the previous night and through the day, so he won't join you on the stakeout. He's not going to be able to be awake and aware, but he'll send two officers with you.
Give him the shotgun.
All right.
May I borrow that shotgun? I would like to, even though I can't shoot at all, I would like to borrow that shotgun.
Sure. Well, I'll say you made like 20 rounds total.
So, I might need to make more because I'm the panic fire sort of guy.
It's a shotgun. You can only fire so many at a time.
Yeah, but it's 20 divided among 3 people.
Well, the two officers will have them for sure, and then however many you want to take for you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was 20 divided by 5 people.
Even better.
I don't do shooting.
Well, you had that prototype taser at the end of your mop.
No, I don't.
It'll throw off the whole balance.
I'm going to say, yeah, you do. I'll make a roll to say that you do.
And I'll take it off if you put it on there.
Exactly.
Oh, Betsy will have to suffer from the super glue. You'll have to use all of your janitorial arts to take it off.
Universal solvent. He just spits on it and comes off. It's a special janitorial skill.
He is the chosen one.
All right, so you want to set up a stakeout. What do you want to stake out?
Well, kind of the neighborhood that.
Okay, you got to be more specific because you can't stake out the whole area. I mean, you got to pick a location unless you want to make multiple places that you split up and stake out.
Okay.
You want us to do a trip for them?
Sort of. Looking at the map, backtracking, you know, we assume a central location. It goes out radially to some other clock.
So,
what single couple of spots or
you can't,
one or two?
You can't. There's only 4 bodies. There's not enough points to do that. So you can't limit the area any more than I've told you that you have.
We can. There is a way to limit it. which would be to this. The police might not go for this, but just to take that recording of the chant, put it on a couple of CDs, and put it on a PA system, and try to drive it to towards one location, or towards a subset of locations.
Okay, yeah, they'd be willing to do that.
Why wouldn't they be willing to do that? That sounds genius.
Yep. Now, you've only got two officers, though. That's all they can spare.
Right, but the PA, but if it hates the sound of that chant, it's going to go away from those poles. And
but we also have one more point of reference near the center. The light sensor that kept going off.
No, well, I mean, if you want to include that, I mean, you don't know for sure that that's what it is.
But they said they... What is that noise? Velcro. They said it kept going off, and no tracks were found, so no tracks were found near the mall bodies either. Okay.
Even including that point, though, you can't narrow it down any further. It just doesn't work that way, because they're not exactly equidistant, and they don't surround the whole area, so you need more data points to be able to pick a center. You can't do it with any less.
Well, I'm just looking for connecting lines at this point. So, and you know, I want like a cross street that it more than likely would have had to go across. And we'll like stake out looking out on that street.
All right. Once again, that doesn't really work. There's not that many roads. I mean, you basically have a main road. Most of the houses don't actually have roads going to them.
Mm-hmm.
You basically, the largest road is just the main street that goes all the way through town. And it does go through the area that you've kind of selected.
Why don't you ask the hunter where he thinks the animal would go next?
We could ask one of the officers for that matter. They're all hunters as well.
Yeah, well, sure. I'll give him a roll here. Let's see.
6x6. Woo!
Okay, you know, looking at the map, and it's like, well, given the area, if we're going to call this an animal, you're looking for its den, I guess. Well, we can mark off these locations.
Hunting ground.
Right. And he marks off all the residential areas. It's like, it can't be here because the ground's too hard. You can't have a den here. And there's nowhere else for it to be during the day. That leaves this area between, you know, by the end of the residence, up through where the mall is, up through in that area. So, like, the airport, same thing. It's all flat ground there. You can't burrow. So if I was going to say you got an animal lairing somewhere, it's got to be here. He circles the area around the mall. It says the reason I say this is because there's been some construction out there. There's places for an animal to hide. You really don't get that at the airport. And you don't get that at the residences, so it just circles the area around the mall.
This could end poorly.
What are you talking about? This will end poorly.
Optimism.
That's why you brought me out, is it? To clean this up.
Absolutely. That's what you janitors are good for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you ready to earn that Christmas bonus?
I think this includes hazard pay.
I don't hear him saying yes.
I was trying to think. Would Ghost Be Gone, is that a rented building or is that a...
It's a rental. It's a rental.
Okay. Who owns the actual building itself?
Probably the same people who owns the Chinese restaurant downstairs with the employees' extremely sharp teeth.
Yeah, I get paid by the chochos. Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you want...
I don't even know why you brought me along on this.
You were in the office. It was your mistake. You can't be holding that over us now.
All right, what's the game plan?
Not get killed, but, you know, we were kind of vetoed on the flying room already. The doctor wouldn't be appreciative if we refunded all their money and went home. We tried. We gave that an honest attempt. One of us honestly has to get killed first.
Don't tell the janitor. I like the janitor. We're not going to kill the janitor off. We just have to make sure he's well-armed.
I think the plan is to stake out the mall.
Yes, it is.
Very good, Penry.
Okay.
Glad you could keep up.
All right, so how do you want to go about this? Do you want to set up your sound systems? You got the officers each have a car. You can get...
Does the mall have a PA system?
Sure.
Perfect.
Yep. They're going there after hours, so basically the police get permission and they get all the keys to get into the building.
Okay,
And you know it sets off motion sensors.
All right. So we set up the PA to drive it towards the mall. And then once it's at the mall, we turn on the PA system to keep it at the mall.
Okay, yep. So...
we're assuming it's at the mall already at Starcy because that's where its den is.
Right.
So it's there now.
Right, but we want to make sure it's hemmed in there.
All right. So how are you going to... So you're going to put, like, loudspeakers somewhere outside the mall?
Yes.
Okay, so the only way they can do that is to actually use the police cruisers. So they can do that. They can park the cars wherever you want them to park, and they can turn on their loudspeakers.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Okay, so go ahead.
If it's in the mall already and you put the sound through the mall PA, it won't leave the mall because it's trapped right there.
I thought it would have to run away from it.
Depends how it gets out.
We're already assuming it's kind of outside the mall, not inside the mall itself.
It could actually be inside the mall. We don't know.
Yep. No one's actually went in to look.
Henry, you first. You sound like a likely lad.
Henry gets all the dirty jobs.
He is all right. A janitor.
Okay, so if you want them to have the loudspeakers in the cars outside, the officers will have to stay out.
And I'm staying with them.
So two of you go in. Essentially, this mall is all one story. There's a skating ring, which seems to be one of the pastimes here. There is, in fact, a Pizza Hut that's in here. It's all closed down. It's after hours. You guys, it's probably like 10 o'clock at night. Or it's close to... What time do you want it to be?
It's a mall. Everything's shutting down. It's probably more like 11.
All right, you want to say 11?
Well, making sure that all of the civilians are out.
Right. All right, 11 o'clock. So they've got just backup lighting on, so everything's very dark. All the storefronts have their gates down and locked. As I said, it's only one floor, but you do notice that there is an access stair that goes down beneath the mall. It currently has a gate up over it. Caution strips are up.
So it replaces the strips every time it leaves.
I can't say anything. I'm with the cops.
Yep.
Terry, get your ass in here.
What are you talking about? I am supervising from the safety of the cops' firearms.
Terry?
Yes?
Shift it.
I'm not hearing any incentive here.
Well, let's see. You get paid more than me, so if I'm doing the hard work for this one, I get your bonus.
What are you talking about? I already made the equipment and found the visual on the Wendigo. Proof positive.
We don't have the motion sensor set up.
True, we don't.
I start running the ghost sniffer anyway.
Yeah, it's a pull start. Yeah, so far, yeah, it's nothing. It's
new and improved, but still pull start. It's part of the mechanism.
Noxious fumes still come out of the back, but at least they're not radioactive anymore.
Just carcinogenic. Don't breathe that stuff in. Don't worry, it stays low. You're not likely to breathe it in. Just keep away pregnant women.
Very disappointed in you, Terry. Very disappointed.
It's an ongoing project. I'm just so glad we don't all have cancer from the last time.
All right, so what are you guys doing?
Looking around the mall, I assume.
Mm-hmm. And again, the only thing that you see, other than the storefront, is the stairway that's been... There's a gate over it and caution tape.
Is the gate locked?
Yep. But you have keys.
Okay, unlock the gate.
Okay. Fiddle around with the keys for a bit before you find the right one. You unlock the gate. Yep. No light. There's no light down in the stairwell. It goes down.
Do you have a flashlight?
Sure.
Or is there a light switch on the wall?
There is a light switch on the wall, but it does not look like it is active. You flip it a few times and nothing.
Okay. So flashlight it is.
Okay. You head down. It goes down to like one landing. And then basically there's a big sign up that says danger under construction. And it continues down, but you notice at this point that there is a lot of like just a lot of rubble, you know, pieces of rebar with cement still attached on it, just scattered about. The stairways going down look pretty safe, but it looks like basically it looks like it's all been stripped out. There's been some serious earth moving equipment through here, so you can still go down further, but might be a little dicey.
All right, keep going down.
Okay. All right, so you get to flat ground. It doesn't go down any further. And this is basically a tunnel. You can tell at one point in time that it used to be reinforced, that this might have been a bunker of sort, but everything's been ripped out and stripped out to the point where you basically have a cave down here. It goes off into the distance.
Look around, get hit by a Wendigo, you know, usual things.
Okay. Let's see. Go ahead and give me, let's see what kind of roll would this be. This would be a stat roll. Probably, sorry. I got to find my character sheet here so I can look it up. Give me a wits roll. If you have it focused, it's focused. So if it's circled, if you circled it as your primary, then it's focused. If you have a line through it, then it is unfamiliar. Otherwise, it is unfocused.
Okay, I have wit as focused.
Okay.
So that is a 20.
I have wit as unfamiliar. Okay. I have 10.
Oh, sorry. 6 times 4, that's 24.
24. Yeah. So you get it with a couple, well, at least one raise there.
Nope,
and
2. It's because my total focus is 5.
Okay.
Right, no, so it's 1. Yeah.
It's 1.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you're looking around, and you see the marks of all the machinery that's been stripped out. You see some footprints here and there. Of course, the janitor's clueless. He's probably seeing all the dirt that needs to be cleaned. Sharon, your character does find deep in the mud towards the very back of the area, there's what looks like to be like a paw print. Single paw print. Very back of the cave.
Based on this paw print, could it be what we're looking for? I mean, is it that
big? It's big. Yeah, it's big.
Ooh. Okay, and it's just a single paw print. All right. Does it look fresh?
Do you need me to clean that up for you?
No, I take a picture of it, and I do take a picture of it with the camera.
Yep. Whether it's fresh or not, it's hard to tell. It's impact earth down here. Since it's enclosed and not open to the elements, it's not really a way for you to judge how old the print is.
Ow. Okay. All right. Is there any way out of this cave area other than the way we came in?
Since you got multiple successes with your roll there, so you're looking around the back wall trying to see if there's an exit, and you see that there is a seam, a crack in the floor. And you shine your light down, and you see that there is a cavity beneath the floor. The crack is not very wide, though. I mean, it's like it runs maybe 2 feet along the length, and its width at the widest part is maybe 2 feet.
How big does it need to be for a ghost weeaboo to get down through it?
That is the question, isn't it?
Well, the other question is: does it look like the edges have been like freshly broken, or is it has it been there for a while?
Once again, I can't really tell. I'll give it to you at that witch roll that you made. Looks like it's fresher than the other construction in the area. So, like, some of the construction could have weakened the area, and over time, this crack has developed.
Okay.
So as a janitor, I've seen all sorts of cracks and things.
But there's definitely a cavity down there. Like, you shine your light around, there is definitely like some kind of cavern down there.
Okay. Well, as a janitor, what do you use to stop up cracks?
Crack be gone!
I'll get some stucco and cover it over. I don't know. I'll poke at the crack with the end of my broom. With the end of my mop.
Okay. Some of it crumbles, and you widen the hole a little bit.
Hmm.
Okay. Poke.
Yep. You're able to shine your light down there a little bit more. And it looks, it looks like it's a hollow depression under the floor. You see that there are some carvings on the walls. It's kind of hard to make out from where you are, but they do glint the, catch the light a little bit. And you do see bones. Lots of bones down there.
Oh, boy. Okay. Penry, can you keep an eye on that for a minute? I'll be right back.
Leaving him as the sacrificial lamb after all.
No, I'm not leaving him as a sacrificial lamb. I'm leaving him because I'm down here armed with a tape recorder.
All right. As you guys are discussing this and you're talking on the phone, both of you start smelling, to Penry, it smells like sulfur gas.
Right. Out now. Bail. Run.
It's just a sulfur leak.
Yeah, fine. I'm running.
All right. So let's go into initiative here to see what's going to happen. Okay, so Sharon, you're running.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to turn on the tape recorder and run.
Okay. Pimri, what are you doing?
I'll follow along behind. I don't seem to need to run immediately.
Okay, so you're both moving. Okay, the way this works is you've declared your actions. Everybody rolls their 2d6. I'm rolling red.
Ooh!
Yep. Okay.
I'm good.
And your total tells you how fast what you're trying to do happens in the initiative. So not only is it your result, it's also how fast it happens.
Well, I just got 30.
Yep. Like, yeah, Karen, everybody goes. Yeah, everybody right, goes so before me, but I have the tape recorder. And
Henry actually goes first, and as you're moving, do you have athletics trained?
It's part of my being a janitor.
Sure, I'll call it that. So that's your focus by many times. So technically, if you're moving, what it does is everybody can move 2 meters per turn, and then for every success you get on this roll, you move 2 further meters. So, but you said you weren't in a hurry, so you're just pacing Sharon's character.
Yeah.
Okay. So it got a 6. Okay. So what is its action is going to be in manifest. So this kind of gas starts creeping. It starts coming up out of the crack in the ground, and you smell the sulfur. It's even stronger. Still, definitely smells. You know, like the rotten egg smell. And then it starts to take shape. And you see the hulking form of what you saw on the video. It's got the dog legs, hulking upper body, razor-sharp claws. It's got this large, wide mouth. It's covered in fur, but its eyes look very human. So that's its action as it manifests. And then Sharon, you fail to run very far.
Wasted too much time trying to convince Henry.
I'm more concerned with making sure that the tape recorder is on and blasting that song.
Okay, so you're playing the song.
Yes.
Okay, and unfortunately, you kind of fumbled what you were doing there. Do you want to spend any points on it, or do you want to take the 1? Well, actually, no. Hold on. So actually, using the cell phone would be tech. Kind of a tech thing. Do you have any kind of skill related to tech at all?
Computers.
You do have it. Is it focused, unfocused?
It's focused.
Well, that's unfortunate because it would fail. Yeah, that fails.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay. So yeah, actually, with that horrible failure, you go to play it and you've deleted it off your phone.
Okay, shit. Okay, can I start trying to sing it from memory on my next round?
Yes, you can. So you guys are running. The things manifested behind you. You do have your phone out, though. You deleted the song. If you want to tell Steven's character what's going on.
Incoming!
Okay. Is the next round we re-roll?
Yes. Actually, no, you... yeah, no, you do have to because you it, different actions, so you do reroll. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So your action is to try and chant. So you can roll your Sharon. What are you doing, Jameis?
This is why I have martial arts, and I happen to have a bow with me, also known my bow staff, also known as Fishy.
All right. So you're going to try and attack it.
Yep.
All right. So it is also going to attack.
Ooh.
Okay.
Good chanting.
Very good chanting.
Yep.
She has Jameis. Great motivation.
All right, well, yeah, the 30 goes first, so you start your chanting. What is your focus?
It's a 5.
It's a 5, okay, so that's many levels of success.
Well, it depends. Is singing a focus skill?
Yeah, because it's part of her occupation, since she's a folklorist and all of that.
All right.
okay, so that happens first, which is going to... affects him. He can't attack. So he is instead going to run past you. He kind of has to. But he has a 6. You also have a 6, Jameis. I'm going to say you can get an attack off if you wish. As it's trying to go past you. All right. So fists. You've got a bow staff.
Yep.
All right.
Michael. So,
Mop Fu, love it.
Right. Okay, hey, so
he's
does,
a janitor. He's picked up from schools.
Yep. And did you succeed, by the way?
Yep.
Okay, you did succeed.
Not amazingly, but I succeeded.
All right, so you succeeded. So it does basically weapon damage to it. I'm going to call this a club because I don't think I've got anything better.
Fair enough.
Yeah, club, chair, skillet. So it does stun damage. There are... levels of damage. Graze is the lowest, stun is the second. You didn't get any extra successes, so it just stunned damage. This is a large creature. It's got a little bit of armor, so it's going to reduce that to grazed. But you do physically impact it. It does seem to take note of you being able, you know, of hitting it. It definitely feels very solid as it runs off. So your graze is going to mean it has
graze minus one, or yeah, 1 point
one
penalty.
Point penalty to all dice rolls.
Yeah,
which means I have to drop one of the die rolls or raise one of the die roll, depending if he's focused or unfocused.
Exactly.
Yep.
So this is where it gets a little bit confusing.
I don't particularly think so, but all right. Okay, so it takes off running. It got a 6, which is actually below its focus for athletic type of things. So it's only going to get 2 meters away as it tries to run away. All right. So next actions.
I'm going to defend Sharon's character as she sings, I suppose. Yeah, that's the best way to put it at the moment.
Sure. Yeah, which means if it attacks, you can attack it. That's fine. So you'd make an attack roll. Sharon, you keep up the singing. Since you're doing the same action you were doing last round, you don't have to roll again.
Okay.
And it's going to try to run away. Essentially, your initiative is 0 since you're just continuing. You'll have the lowest initiative, but you can keep the same roll. Okay, and since you guys aren't moving and chasing it, it's going to continue to run away. It's like it's heading for the entrance of the mall. And,
oh, they're heading that way.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, so if no one's chasing it, we'll say out of initiative. Now, what are you guys doing?
The guy's lying in wait will now shoot it down?
It hasn't come out the front yet.
We're going to chase after it.
Are you guys going to chase after it?
I'm not, not chase. I want to continue. I want to exit, but not break the chain.
All right, so then you're not going to be able to go any faster than the 2 meters around, which means it will definitely outdistance you. So are you trying to stay with Sharon or not, James?
No, if I can find out where the beast is, I'll go after the beast.
All right, and you roll. And it will roll.
24. Oh, it runs away. Bye.
Yeah, it gets very far ahead of you. That's actually enough for it to run through. It basically burst through the doors of the mall. Your guys out front with the shotguns. Steven, you can roll for them. Just give me one roll. Just 2d6.
All right. Use your cop skills. Use your better cop skills.
Wow. Yeah, they're mostly taken surprise by the beast itself. And so their shots go very wide. And
continues a black man. Ooh, yummy. All
right. So you guys inside are going to be, I suppose, James, if you want to try and run out, you might be able to do something else in the scene, but Sharon, you will not be able to because you've got quite a bit of distance on you. We know the cops are going to try and shoot it. Steven, what are you trying to do?
I will incentivize them to aim better.
So you're doing nothing.
Is my ghost sniffer going crazy
now?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's going haywire.
I throw the ghost sniffer at him.
Isn't the car playing the song?
You haven't said you turned it on yet, so.
All right. Oh.
I thought it. Okay, fine.
That's a good point. I will, let's say, lean over into the car and turn on the speaker.
Sure. We'll call that a tech roll. You can give me 2d6 for that.
Tech roll.
Well, which would be your occupation, so focus for you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then roll another set for with a different color for the police officers who's going to take another shot.
They're going to be I should have let them be blue, but they're going to be the boys in green.
All right, and Jameis, if you're trying to run out, you can throw two more. If not, you're just staying back.
I'm 50
back
years old. I can't get this far anymore. I'm too old for this.
go, cops. Six.
Okay,
what's
so
their
who,
focus
the blue
number?
Is yours, so
yes.
you go first at 25. And
oh, that's initiative?
Yeah, it's initiative and your result. So 25 okay. will go first. So you turn on the music. That happens first. Okay, the Wendigo is next at an 8. It was running, and now it's having to change its trajectory, which is good because he was going to run into you guys. Instead, it can't go back and can't go forward, so it's going to go to the side. It starts to run out into the night.
And now the cops shoot it down.
The cops got a...
Six.
Which is barely enough. No success. So, yes, they get two shots off it. We'll call that a gun. Let's see. No, actually, taser is just knockout.
Remember, it's extra range, extra damage.
Yeah, okay. So we'll call it, instead of a knockout...
Oh, did you apply the one-point wound to him?
Yeah, it still succeeds. I'll drop.
Well,
it off.
I would have taken it down to from an 8 to a 6.
Yeah, it's still enough for it to succeed in its action, which is to run. But then, anyway, the cops only got a 4, so yeah, they would still go next. Okay, so I was going to up the damage,
six.
And there's they're both going to hit. Let's see, a successful brawn or will check reduces it to knockout. No, that's if it gets a kill
result.
Really
okay.
No, it's they got to actually get a kill result. So I'm going to stage it up. So we'll call it a hit. Both of them hit, so we'll go to a wound.
Ooh.
But that's open not a, that doesn't get into the kill though. It's still got. I'm sorry. Let me think about this for a second. The attack is knockout, so it staged at knockout. I'm getting these one higher to kill. So, yeah, actually, that would work. So he has got to make a successful brawn or will check, or he is knocked out. That's how it works. Okay,
will the Wendigo be able to make a brawn check?
Yeah.
Let's think about this, shall we?
Oh, yeah, no problem. So, yeah, it makes it with spades. So, yeah, it's running off into the night. What are the next rounds of actions? It only succeeded in its athletics, so it's not very far. It's still within gun range.
Okay, guys, shoot them again!
Okay, they'll shoot again. What are you doing?
Incentivizing, supervising.
Nothing, in other words.
I radio to the other two that it's like, we're shooting at them. I just informed them.
All right.
I'm still chanting.
Okay.
I'll try to run out, but I'll yell at him, chase him down in the car, you idiot.
Can't shoot while driving.
Can't shoot anyway. All right. So it's still continuing to run. Go ahead and roll for the police officers. Don't roll for yourself, Steven, since you're not really doing anything. And Jameis, go ahead and roll for yourself.
I think they gunned him down.
Once again, that's only a normal success, so no extra damage. Wow, so you're going to go first, and so you'll get outside with that 24.
That's the cops.
Yellow is the cops?
Yes.
Oh, yellow is the cops, okay.
They gun them down.
5 is Jameis. So 24, yeah. 3 levels. Okay, so it's the same thing. He still makes a check. If he succeeds, it doesn't do anything. Yep, he's still going to succeed. Oh, actually, he's at he's at severe minuses now, actually. So hold on.
Yeah, he's at minus 4.
Yeah, so that will fail. Okay, he goes down. Yep, the successful hits have, he's starting to smoke. And so...
Twitches every now and then.
Yep. All right, what are you guys doing? It went down.
I radio them and say, problem solved, let's go home.
You're an idiot.
You're totally an idiot.
All right, fine. You get out of here and shoot it some more. What do you want me to do with it? I've solved the problem with excessive force.
No, you've definitely shot the...
He's down. Is he dead? That's the question. And I'm not going to break the chant to say that.
Get the car with the sound over there.
All right, boys in blue, let's investigate closer where it might disembowel us.
I said 6 feet, so I'm slowly coming out as well. I'm coming out as well.
Okay. So you're moving the car closer that's got the chant blaring over across it?
Yep.
Yep. And as you're coming over, it's the shock, which normally happens when you hit apparitions with electricity, so it's starting to boil off a little of its ectoplasm, but it's still holding together somewhat. But as you get closer to the chant, it's trying to get away, but it's still really woozy, and it can't go anywhere. It's kind of stuck there. And as the chant starts to play off, eventually it just dissolves.
Go up.
See, told you. Problem solved. Let's go.
It just boils off. Nothing comes up behind me, right?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Well, now you say that.
Yeah. I'm going to go over near the cruiser, continue my chant, go over near the cruiser, put my phone next to the speaker, re-record the damn thing, and give my voice a break.
Surprised you didn't just record what you were chanting.
That would require me to make another roll.
Right. So
can't break concentration. All right.
Well, I guess it's up to you to go down and clean up them bones.
Yeah, well, once the sun comes up, basically inform the cops that we found a cavity under there with a bunch of bones, and what looks to be, I can't tell, I need to look at it closer, might be some indigenous artifacts. This might, you know, the mall might be built over a dig, guys.
All right.
I won't say I know how to get rid of bones, but I do work for some very odd people.
Yeah, there you go.
And
task to clean up bodies and bones. That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Chochos. The mess they make. All right. Yeah. So, wrap up on this is the next day you're able to breach into the cavern, and it was completely sealed in. There was no other entrance or exit until that crack had appeared in the floor above. You're able to do. With the help of some local Inuits, you're able to decipher the ruins that are inside of the cave. And apparently, at some point, an Inuit tribe had captured a Wendigo, sealed him in the tomb, and apparently died in here, but it was able to come back as a spirit. And the ritual that you played and it couldn't get away from excised that spirit. Of course, you've only been here 2 days, so it takes the rest of the week because you have to get every dime of your payment. So you're here for like the rest of the week sorting all this stuff out before you claim it to be done and you invoice everybody.
Well, we have to make sure it's actually gone.
It's
going to
be 5 days, and we have to make sure we're here for that fifth day.
Yep. Yes. However, I make sure I get some really good photos. And just get some really nice info to like send back to the university.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah, that goes, mercenary grad students.
So Ghost Be Gone has successfully completed another mission with Janitor in tow. Your fearless leader, when you get back, will be glad that you have made another paycheck for him. Yes. And another satisfied customer left behind. No bodies this time. So good when that happens. All right. Well, I'm going to stop the recording of the session here. Say goodnight, okay. Everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.